Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read to you seven verses of Scripture this morning. From the New King James Version of the Bible, the Word of the Lord declares to us in this discipleship hour that the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place, and he cut off a branch and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this day. We thank you, God, for the revelation you have spoken into your servants' hearts as we have read these scriptures over the past week. I thank you, God, that as we endeavor to read your word in the coming week, that you will indeed speak into every single life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are no respecter of persons, that there is no revelation, no insight that you will withhold from those who are diligently seeking your wisdom. I pray that it be in abundance this coming week, but right now, God, we realize that you have us on a path. Just as we talked about already through these revelations, a path in which we are building spiritually and physically. And as we do so, Lord, there are those, Father, who have lost or are in danger of losing their edge. Lord, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, I ask that even if one is working hard for the kingdom of God and has no concept of what we're talking about today, let this message be hidden on their heart. Lord, your word tells us in the book of John, the 14th chapter, that you gave us the Holy Spirit as our teacher, as our guide, that he would bring all things to remembrance that you have said. So therefore, we ask for that. And Lord, for those who are in a place of struggle, for those who are growing weary in well-doing, Lord, I thank you that you have prepared this word as edification for the body of Christ. Lord, let no word be withheld that you would have spoken today. Let no word be spoken that is not anointed of you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And before you're seated, no, I'm just kidding. It's early morning crowd, boy. You like to sit down quick, huh? Let's take a look at what's happening in 2 Kings chapter 6, because there is a phenomenal parallel between that passage and what is happening at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church of God. It opens up by identifying a group of people called the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets were, for lack of a better term, disciples. Now, when we talk about disciple, we talk about the discipline of a Christ-like life. Well, these were men of God who were anointed of God to do a work for the Lord. So they were a disciple in a form of the word. And they were being schooled in the word and will of God. They were growing to know the Lord. They were growing as godly men in their endeavor. But the place in which they were meeting was too small. They were growing physically, they were growing spiritually, and they had become confined by the place where they met. They did not worry about this, but instead had a vision to build a larger gathering place. Because they were drawing close to God, they could see what was invisible to others. They could hear what was inaudible to others. They knew that the windows of heaven had opened over them. They knew that God had a plan and a purpose. They could see the hand of God that was moving upon them. And above all, they were willing to advance the kingdom of God with sacrifice and labor and the will to be used of the Lord. They were an awesome group of people, just like we have here at Cornerstone. Folks who saw the purpose of God, saw the plan of God, the provision of God, the promise of God, even the presence of God resting with them. And so they said, yes, let's do this work unto the Lord. So we soon find them chopping away at the trees. They are building a new facility. The days are long and the work is hard. But they do so unto the Lord with an expectation of what blessings God has prepared. As this progresses, we are introduced to a worker who has found himself in a terrible place. He has lost his axe head. And because he has lost his axe head, he has lost his cutting edge. We hear that phrase often in the modern world. We talk about someone having that cutting edge, that ability to penetrate through any obstacle that stands before them. This man had a cutting edge. He was using his cutting edge to build the kingdom of God. He was using his cutting edge to build a facility where he would grow in God and could bring others to come to know God and grow in God. But now he has lost his edge. Now, the Bible says that this takes place at Gilgal. As we talked about in recent weeks, that word Gilgal, literally translated, means a rolling wheel. It was on the move. It was expanding. There was growth taking place. And I want you to know that you'll never lose your edge if you're not in a place like Gilgal. What am I saying? Moss grows fat on a rolling stone. They were moving, they were expanding, they were on the roll, things were happening, and that's why he lost his edge. If you're not on a roll, if you're not moving, if you're not advancing the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about losing your edge. You ain't using it. Okay? A lot of times, come on, friends, when we lose our edge as Christians, when we grow weary in well-doing, when we don't feel like going to church, when we're questioning our own faith, we feel embarrassed by this. We feel less than worthy, less than honorable. And then the devil jumps on us and really starts just giving vicious rib kicks as we're down. Because he's that kind of joker. He likes to hit you when you're down. And so we feel bad and we wonder, what kind of a Christian are you? Let me tell you something. You would never be in that position if you weren't a threat to the kingdom of Satan. The only way you can lose your edge is if you use your edge. Therefore, if you've lost your edge, it's only because you've been advancing the kingdom. Let me put it to you this way. If you're hitting the devil head on, that means you're headed in the right direction. If you aren't getting hit by the devil, there's a problem. Because he doesn't see you as a threat. So let me just say this right up now. As soon as I start talking about losing your edge, not wanting to come to church, not wanting to pray, not wanting to read your Bible, a lot of people go, Oh, that ain't me. I'm all that in a bag of chips. Me and God are good. Everything's good. Let's just cut through all of the lies right now and realize this. It happens. And it most often will happen to those who are advancing the kingdom. Hey, if your axe is sitting in the garage hanging on the wall, you don't have to worry about that thing getting lost. Unless you got a 14-year-old son. But I'm talking about your spiritual axe right now. If that thing's just sitting in the garage, you don't have to worry about that thing getting lost. It's the ones who are using it. He was using it. They were advancing the kingdom. But he's lost his edge. You know what happens when a Christian loses his edge? They're just walking around with a bunch of broken sticks. That's all it is. They can't build anything. They're swinging with all their strength. Think about an axe that has lost the axe head. You can swing with all your strength, but you're not going to be able to cut anything down. All you're going to do is bruise your sticks. You're not going to make an impact. Come on, friends. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Anybody ever been there where you're just swinging with all your might, but you feel like you're not even making a dent in the kingdom? And you know what it is? You're still going through the motions, but you've lost your edge. You've lost your cutting edge. It happens in churches all across this land. I've heard it said that some churches begin at 11 a.m. sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. I remember I was preaching at a church once, Pastor Josue, and I told the pastor afterwards, he was struggling. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do here. And when I got done preaching, he said, well, what'd you think? I said, I thought the rapture happened at 12:30 because I saw the dead in Christ rise. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? It's like sometimes there's people I can stand at that door in the foyer and say, hey, it was good to see you today. It was good to be here. What'd I preach? Well, something about an axe and cutting trees. Because why? We're not here. We've lost our edge. We've grown dull. And there are many reasons this happens. When church becomes a chore, you've lost your edge. When it takes an increasing effort to forgive, you've lost your edge. When you need a pep talk just to evoke your praise of God, you've lost your edge. When you come to church out of obligation instead of dedication, you've lost your edge. When people come to you with a problem and you start messing instead of blessing, you've lost your edge. And I want you to know today, it happens. In our scripture, we have a believer standing on the banks of the Jordan River. He is anointed of God, but he is no longer prophesying to anyone. He is not declaring the great oracles of God to the nations. He's a broken down lumberjack. All of a sudden, he's in a place in his life where his world doesn't match his word. Do you hear what I'm saying today? God had called him to be something. To do something. But he's not there. He's standing with a broken stick, ineffective as a man of God, wondering, what do I do now? Have you ever been there? You know God has called you to do something. You know God has called you to be something. Not just in the church. You know God has called you to be the husband or the wife that you desire to be, the parent, the boss, the worker. Whatever the case might be, God has called you to be that, but all of a sudden you end up in a place where you've lost your cutting edge. And so there he stands. He's lost his edge. The question now becomes, how do we get that edge back? Now let me just pause real quick and say, if you don't want to continue to advance the kingdom of God in your own life, in your family, in your community, then what I'm about to share with you is of no interest. But if you say, God, I need to get my edge back, that cutting edge. You know, when Paul talks about running the race of faith, he doesn't say, look, hey, just run along with the crowd. Just run as best as you can. No, he says, run as if to win the prize. That's having the edge. You know what? I've never met someone who was an athlete, a professional athlete, whose attitude was not 100% winning the prize. You know, you hear them say, I'm just happy to be here. No, they're not. They want the trophy. That's why they compete. If you don't believe me, watch the Olympics closely. And here's who you want to watch. The silver medal winner. Why? Well, the bronze is just happy because they're going to get something as they leave. And the gold, hey, they got the gold, right? But the silver, second place is the first loser in the attitude of an athlete. I remember the young girl, I don't remember her name, who was a gymnast, and she was sure to win the competition, but she stumbled a little bit, ended up getting silver, and the picture that was shot during the award ceremony, she had her arms crossed and was looking at the gold medal winner like, yeah, whatever. I could beat you on my worst day. I just messed up here. That's what I'm talking about, that edge, that determination. I'm going to be everything God has called me to be. I'm going to do everything God has called me to do. How do I get that edge back? If that's your heart, I'm going to share with you out of the scripture how we do that. But I want to tell you, it ain't going to be easy. Look at your neighbor and tell them Christianity ain't for wimps. Boy, some of you said that like, oh, man. You're nudging your spouse. Why do you come to the 9 o'clock service? He doesn't do this at 11. Well, I do, but don't tell them that. How do we get the edge back? Number one, the first step is you've got to admit you lost it. The iron axe head fell in the water, and the Bible says the man cried out, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Many Christians refuse to admit they've lost their edge. They'll take the time to polish the handle that they hold, and it has a pretty sheen. And they'll keep swinging it with their arms. Hey, everything's good here. Going through the motions. All is well. Oh, no. Pay no attention to the fact that I've lost my edge. And all that's happening is they're leaving bruised trees along the way. And somebody else is coming behind them to take care of what is lacking. The first step to getting your edge back is to admit you've lost it. A good woodsman will tell you that there is a little wedge at the end of an axe handle. And when your axe head starts to work loose, you can tap on that wedge and it will keep your axe head tight. It's that simple. But it's evident to me that the young man in our scripture took his axe head for granted. He assumed it was secure, that it would serve his purpose whenever he needed. He neglected to check his axe head, and because of that, he lost his edge. Let me encourage you today to check your axe head. Make sure that thing is firmly fixed in your life. Perhaps, like that axe, you're at your breaking point. Perhaps, like that axe, you're about to fly off the handle. We need to check that axe head to make sure we don't lose our edge. But if it happens, understand it happens to the best of them. Even the best men and women of God in Scripture lost their edge from time to time. Gideon was afraid. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. Thomas doubted Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Moses and Elijah and Paul all grew so tired in ministry that each one of them was suicidal at some point. Losing your edge is inevitable. Getting your edge back is a choice you have to make. And it starts simply by this. Alas, Master, I have lost it. And it was borrowed. You gave it to me. Your anointing, your purpose, it was given to me, and I've lost it. Once you've admitted that, the next step is to identify where you lost it. Elisha looks at the young man and says, "Where did you lose it? Where did it fall?" And the young man pointed to the place. Let me ask you, where did you lose your edge? At what point did you grow weary in well-doing? Did it happen when you were always running and stretched yourself thin? Or did it happen when your effort was met with expectation instead of appreciation? Was it because you were always there to help someone in need but felt like no one was there for you? Did you grow weary holding your tongue while people continued to say hurtful things? Did you grow weary because you were giving it your very best only to be constantly criticized? Where did you lose it? You know, when you look at the story of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, and Mary and Joseph lose Jesus, Let me say, first of all, don't give them a bad rap as parents. Now, I understand losing a child ain't a good thing. But understand the way that caravans were in that day. They had traveled all the way to Jerusalem, a long journey, to worship the Lord for the feast. And it was tradition that when they left there, the women would go in one caravan, the men would go in another, and they would meet up that evening in another place. So as they depart Jerusalem, Mary assumes her 12-year-old, who is now at his bar mitzvah age, is traveling with the men. Joseph, knowing that Jesus dearly loved his mother, assumes he's with his mother. And they get to the meeting place that night and they go, "Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh." And panic sets in. Could you imagine that, parents? And they rush back to Jerusalem. And they, on that journey, inevitably, though the scripture doesn't record it, they must have had a conversation that went something to the degree of this: where did you last see him? Or if I may put it this way, where did we lose him? Well, the last time I saw him, he was in the temple. You know what? That's the last time I saw him too. Well, let's start off at the temple. And that's where they found Jesus. Once they had identified the fact that he was lost, they then identified where they had lost him. And here is the remarkable thing. They had lost Jesus in the house of God. Let me say that to you one more time. They lost Jesus in the house of God. Where'd you lose your edge? Where's it at? So many times, we love God, and we're doing a work for the Lord, but all of a sudden we wake up one day and that edge isn't there. Where did I lose it? When Elisha's student lost his axe, he had lost his most valuable tool. The very moment he lost his edge, he was ineffective. He was unable to build anything anymore. In order to reclaim that which was lost, he had to first admit he lost it. Why? It was beyond his ability to retrieve it. My God in heaven, hear what I'm telling you right now at the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is beyond your ability to retrieve it. When you lose your edge, please understand, I've already covered this. It happens. But you've got to set pride aside. Sometimes we say, well, it'll just come back around. Eventually, I'm just in a rut. I'm going through a bad spell. It'll come back around. No, it won't. When you've lost your edge, you've lost everything. Because without passion, you know what? When Timothy asked Paul to help him identify new ministers in the church, Paul says, here are the criteria that you want. If a man desires the position, then he should be blameless, the husband of one wife. He goes on to give this long credential. And we always talk about the credentials of ministers, but here's what we fail to see. The very first thing Paul says is, if a man desires, it begins with desire. When you've lost your passion, when you've lost your drive, when you've lost your hunger, when you've lost your cutting edge, you are ineffective. Because you are no longer hungry for God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. God said, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. When you've lost your edge, you don't have that anymore. And it's not in our ability to retrieve it. It's beyond our ability. Therefore, we must admit we've lost it. We must identify where we lost it, what caused us to lose it. And then there's one more thing that needs to be done. The man of God, Elisha, tells the young man, identify to me the place where it fell. And he said, right there. And the Bible says Elisha cut off a branch and threw it in the water. And it made the iron head float. Why in the world would Elisha go and cut off a branch? The whole seminary is out in the woods cutting down trees. Think about it for a moment. What are they doing? They're building a new facility. They're all cutting down trees. There is wood everywhere. There are logs everywhere. There are branches everywhere. The ground is littered with wood. But the Bible specifically says Elisha goes and cuts off a branch and throws it in the water. Why is that important? I will tell you, my friends, when you've lost your edge, you can't expect help from a dead stick. When you've lost your edge, the only thing that will work for you is a living branch. What do I mean by that? Isaiah chapter 11. Prophesied of Jesus, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of understanding and wisdom, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. My friends, the Bible says Jesus is the branch. So when I see Elisha not picking up a dead stick, but going and getting a living branch, what that tells me is when I've lost my edge, a dead stick of religion ain't going to do it. A dead stick of going through the motions ain't going to do it. I've got to get the living branch in the matter. I've got to get Jesus to be cast upon the situation to change the way that things are going. If you believe it, give God praise today. Come on. Jesus is the branch who will restore to you your edge. If you've grown weary in well-doing, cast the branch into your troubled waters. See your blessing begin to surface. See how hope will rise to the top. See how your strength will be renewed. God made an iron axe head float like a leaf on a pond because a branch had been cast into the water. Can I tell you, God will take that load of heavy problems and make them light as a feather if you'll just cast Jesus into the situation. Come to me, he said, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look what he said. He just identified your Gilgal, your spiritual advancement. Come to me, all ye who labor. Because if you're working for the kingdom, you're going to get tired. If you're working for the kingdom, you're going to lose your edge at some point. But come to me, Jesus said. I will give you rest. What is he saying? I will. Look, that rest is not just a physical rest. Can you imagine the worry? This young man just wanted to advance the kingdom of God. He just wanted to build a place where people could come and hear about God. That's all he wanted to do. But now he's ineffective. And not only is he ineffective, he's lost something that was precious to him. And he says, "What am I?" Can you imagine the worry, the anxiety that he must have felt? But now, because a living branch was cast into the water, all of his worry is gone. All of his anxiety is gone. He has rest, not just physical, more important, emotional, spiritual. He realizes, God's got this. He just did for me what I'm unable to do for myself. And if God can make that iron head float, that means he's going to build this church. And if God is in this and he's going to build this thing, that means people are going to come and hear the word of everything's going to be okay. All of a sudden, he has rest. Is he still working? Oh, yeah. But he has that blissful rest that's inside. Minister Crystal, come on up here. I'm getting ready to close this thing out. I want to tell you that God can still make an iron axe head swim. He can give you your edge back. But I want to close with this point. That young man had to admit that he had lost his edge. He had to identify where he had lost it. He had to cast a living branch into the water. He had to rely on a power greater than his own to get it back. Oh, I'm sure he may have tried to get it back, but when he was in the water, as he was looking for it, every step he took probably kicked up mud, made the thing sink deeper. I don't have time to preach on that. How many times we try diligently to get that edge back, we just make the thing seem to sink deeper. But Elisha comes over and says, "No, this is beyond you. But I want you to notice one more thing. Elisha shows him to rely on a power greater than himself. He says a powerful prayer. He casts a living branch into the water. The iron head floated. And then Elisha said this to him, "Pick it up for yourself." And the Bible says the man reached out his hand and took it. I've come to tell someone today, God didn't give me this word for you to ponder. He's saying, look, right here, there flows an abundance of living water. No matter where you've lost it, just like Jesus, it's in the house of God and it's waiting for you. But you've got to pick it up. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. Pick it up. Reach out and pick it up. And notice what Elisha said. He didn't say, "Hey, pick that thing up for me." He didn't say, "Hey, all these other people are working. Pick it up so they don't have to work alone." He didn't even say, "Hey, God has blessed you mightily. You owe it to God. Pick it up." No, read your Bible. He said, "Pick it up for yourself." Pick it up for you. Get that peace back. Get that power back. Get that purpose back in your life. Pick it up for you. Get that closer walk with God that you've not felt in a while. Pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for these men and women of God who have been diligent in this discipleship hour, growing in the word and will of God. Lord, I thank you for the word you have given us today. A word that is a right now word for some people in the house. I know that, Lord. Those who have felt like they've lost their edge. And even as your word has gone forth, I have no doubt that in their heart they were admitting to you, Lord, I've lost it. I realize that I've lost it. And they've even probably identified the time or the place or the season, the circumstance in which it was lost. Lord, I believe that they're ready to grab hold of it. And I thank you, God, that you're ready to do the miraculous in their life. Church, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to do two things here at the leading of the Holy Spirit. Did not know how this altar call would go until just now. Number one, let me talk to those of you who do not feel like you've lost your edge. You're chopping away. You're advancing the kingdom of God. Everything is rocking and rolling, and it's great. Praise God. I want you to do two things. Number one, let the Holy Spirit hide this word in your heart, because there'll come a day. There will come a day. Trust me, there will come a day. Until that day, I'm going to ask you to do this. Imagine for a moment that scene when that splash is heard, and many of the other men of God that are gathered around hear the splash, and they hear the man cry out, "Oh, alas, master, I've lost it." I would imagine they all gathered around at that moment and began to pray for that man. I want you to know this. An altar call is not a spectator sport. If you're not in the altar, I ask you to be praying for someone in the altar, seeking God on their behalf. Something is happening in their life that is of such remarkable consequence. Don't leave them there alone. Now, here's the second part. I want to talk to those who say, you know what, I've lost my edge. I don't know why you've lost it. Maybe you didn't tap your little wedge and check. Maybe you took it for granted. Maybe it was through no fault of your own. Things happen. Listen, hey, I've lost my edge. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you've lost your edge. But here's what God has laid on my heart. Now that you've admitted that, you've recognized that, God has revealed to you the circumstance, it's now time to cast that branch, that living branch, Jesus, into the situation. How do we do that? This is what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. By you stepping up to this altar, this sacred meeting place with God, it's the same spiritual steps that Elisha took to go get a living branch. Don't sit in the pews where there resides only dead wood of religion. That ain't going to help you. By coming to the altar, you are saying, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into this situation. I need you to restore to me my edge. I need you to do for me what I am unable to do for myself. But in coming here, when you present it to me, I will do what I am able to do. I'm going to grab hold of it. You see, Jesus wants to do this together. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's a unity. It's a companionship. God, I will do what I am able to do, and I will trust you to do what I am unable to do. Father, I thank you, God, as we prepare to open this altar to those who say, Lord, I want my edge back. Lord, may a living branch be cast on behalf of every single person who has the boldness and the faith to make that step today. And we thank you, God, for this word, for this invitation, and for this opportunity.